Thanks for having me.
When I've talked to other comedians before, a lot of them have said how important the writing aspect is to their show, but you have a very improvisational approach to your comedy. Have you always focused on improvisation in your comedy, or was that something that happened along the way?
It kind of happened along the way. When I first started out doing open mic nights, I would go on stage. I would have my an open mic night was sort of anybody who wanted to could go on stage for 5 minutes. And there were lots and lots of us who wanted to. And so everyone was very touchy about the 5 minutes. So if you went over, people were really annoyed. So I had my 5 minutes typed out, memorized while I was bussing tables. Often my lips were moving because I was memorizing my 5 minutes. And I would go on, and within a few seconds I would forget what I was supposed to say, either because I got distracted by something on the way up and then I commented on it, in which case now I have no idea how many minutes I'm doing, or because I just spaced and forgot what I was supposed to say and then was sort of stuck trying to figure something else out. And somewhere along the way, I mean, the first few times this happened, it was just disaster. But somewhere along the way, I found that that was where the good part was. I mean, I have material, and I like to think it's somewhat funny. But, you know, the, I just like talking to the crowd. I like I do the time-honored, where are you from, what do you do for a living? And in this way, little biographies emerge, and I kind of use that from which to set my sails, and it seems to work pretty good.
So when you're interacting with the audience, do you start looking for audience members right when you walk on stage, or do you choose them randomly? What's your process?
It's very random. My manager always tells people I know who to choose. That's not true at all. It's totally random. And the truth is, you talk to anybody for a few minutes, and you know, there's stuff there.
Is there a way to go about practicing for improvisation like this, or does it just come natural, or long practice, or?
I think you know, the practicing is in the doing. It's a muscle, I think. You know, you just if I don't do it for a long time, I'm not very good at it. But it's, you know, it's really no more complex than a conversation at a party. It's, people are always like, ooh, you know, ooh, was it written down? Well, most of what we say is not written down, and we do just fine.
So listeners on this radio station hear you a lot on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Okay, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Paula, when people talk about romance, they often talk about lovebirds. But according to a new study, it turns out that not only are birds not very romantic, but they often do what?
Kill each other.
That's true, but we knew that. This is more about romance than...
About romance?
Yeah.
They often...
Or the lack thereof.
Lose one another's phone numbers.
Or simply don't call back.
Yeah. I'll give you a hint. Well,
they retweet. They retweet a lot.
How did you get involved with that show?
In the most boring of ways, they called me up. I had never heard of it, which I'm sure they hate it when I say, but I hadn't. And they sent me an audio cassette tape so that I could listen. And it was laying on the island in the kitchen, that big thing that kitchens have. When I went to move to that, when I bought that house, I said to the real estate agent, I said, well, can I take this thing out of the middle? And she was like, oh, no, you're going to love your island. And we did. We vacationed on it many times. But it used to just collect junk. So there on the island was this audio tape from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And my nanny at the time saw it, and he was like, oh, you're going to, oh, I love that show. So were it not for the island, I wouldn't be there.
Carl Castle's retiring. Are you going to miss him?
I am going to miss him. You know, Carl is just beloved to the audience. It's funny just to watch him walk out because, you know, the panelists, when we're coming out on stage, the panelists go out first and we're announced by this taped announcement. And, you know, one goes out and there's applause, another goes out and there's applause, another goes out and there's applause. Then they introduce Carl Castle, and the place just goes up. I think there it's this guy who read the news for so long that he feels very familiar to everybody. You know, because on Wait, Wait, it's not, he's the scorekeeper and the announcer. And he does a great job. My favorite thing is when he does his impressions. But it's not the majority of the show. Apparently, it's the favorite part of the show, but it's not the majority of the show.
So you have kids, and I know most kids don't find their parents all that funny, especially when they're trying to be funny, but you're funny, you're a comedian. Do your kids find you funny?
Mostly not. Mostly not. Occasionally I do rap in the kitchen, and that they rather enjoy. They mostly laugh at me, I suppose, more than anything else. I take swing dance classes, and occasionally they've come and watched, and they get a very big kick out of that. But it's not a flattering laughter.
Paula Poundstone, she'll be performing tonight at the Bath Center at Wingate University. Thank you so much for talking to us this morning.
It was great talking to you. Thank you very much.